Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everyone. It's Cassandra Van Zandt here with Star Family Messages, and I'm bringing you another really, really great show because it's all about tuning in and learning about people, what it is that they're doing, how they are, you know, helping the world. And one of the things that I have, why I invited Jen O'Loughlin to be on the show again, I met her a couple of years ago, and she had just finished her first book in its Adventure of Three Little Birds. I was so fascinated by this. She sent me a copy of it. It's a children's book, and it is all about not being afraid to let children know that they have these gifts and how to use them and what to go and do. So a lot of the things that she had in that book, that's why I had her on here. And then I found she wrote another book. And the other book is The Adventure of Three Little Birds, The Astral Garden. And that, of course, caught my attention. But Jen's not just about writing books. There's other things to her. She's a stand-up comedian. She's a publisher now. And all of the things that she is going to be doing coming up in this year, 2018, is full of new things too. So that's why I said, let's get on the show and tell people about it. And now I'm going to introduce Jen O'Loughlin once again. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Cassandra. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, not a problem. When you're talking about astral stuff, I will latch on to that. So we only have a short time, and I know we have a lot to cover, so I'm just going to go ahead and go for it. And how about if you do tell people about the other projects that you have coming up for 2018?
Sure. As you had mentioned, the release of Adventures of Three Little Birds, The Astral Realm, will be on March 28th of this year. Right now, you can buy Adventures of Three Little Birds, the ebook, on Amazon. The other projects I have going on this year is last year I started a publishing company called Brendel Patch Publishing, and what that is, it's a children's book publishing company. Currently there are publishing companies that are only publishing children's works. However, the kids are getting a scholarship or a mentorship with a children's book author like myself. Everything but getting paid for their intellectual properties, pretty much. So what Brendel Patch Publishing does or will do is allow the child to publish their art or their writings, any kind of intellectual properties actually, and we'll sell them. The kid gets 75% of their profit, and that 75% will go into a trust that their parents start for them. So in order to do business with Brendel Patch Publishing, the parent needs to start a basic trust for the kid, and that's where the child will get paid to the trust.
Wonderful. So there's security there in their writing or their drawing.
Correct. There is every school across America right now is selling their students' artwork back to their parents, and they'll put it on a button, they'll put it on a magnet, on a t-shirt, on a mug, whatever. You know, they're fulfilling those orders from the family. And so I feel like that's another kind of example of how kids are selling their art already. Whether it was to make the school a few dollars, that's great. But now I think that the kids can actually profit off of their works.
How do people get in touch with you?
So the website is brindlepatchpublishes.com. And my personal phone number is 904-806-8359. On the website, there is the business line that you can contact me on, and unfortunately, I cannot run that off at the top of my head, the number. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a website?
Awful. Yes,
The Brindle Patch Publishing? Okay, because
yes.
I feel that now especially, we have a lot of star children out. And, you know, you have nieces and nephews, and you've seen, you know, how what we did from the time that I grew up till now, okay, whenever we looked at imaginary people, we were told that that was not there and not to think about it. Now we're trying to nurture what it is the children, the star children are seeing now, and you know, yes, this is your story. This is what you see. This is what you draw. So all of these things here, when somebody's listening, you know, a parent's listening and has their, you know, their child's drawings all over the place, they can actually come to you, and then that's going to be that child's, in a way, legacy
right.
for right this moment. And it's also going to be nurturing what it is that they have so they can continue to grow as, you know, an enlightened person instead of having that turned off. And I think we were talking about that with your first book. That's what I like so much about it. You know, you had, I believe you had someone in there that, you know, didn't believe what the children were doing. And it was, if I'm mistaken, was that about astral projecting or telepathy? I can't remember what part of the book. What was it all about? The Three Little Birds, the first one.
Okay. The first adventure of Three Little Birds was a book about astral travel with three siblings. When the youngest sibling was born, it activated all three of their telepathic ability, so they're communicating with each other, and one of their family members, Uncle Michael, he steps in and starts to understand that there are things going on with the children as far as remembering their dreams and then also remembering his dreams. So they were in the dream realm together working, and that is basically highlighted in the book. It's really, this is a series, and as the author, I can't even, I've got like nine in my head right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know when the series is going to end necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
However, so the first book is basically like an introduction to the star children communicating with each other. There is a little bit of, I am saying that it's nothing to, we want to nurture these skills, but we also don't want to put the kids into a position where they're talking to somebody that's going to shut them down. Like, for instance,
right.
in real life right now, if you call me a conspiracy theorist, I'm going to stop talking about whatever I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely shut down at that point. So we have, you know, trigger words to shut kids down, and especially when it comes to seeing other things or hearing something or talking to that relative that's been gone. That's really what I was into when I was a kid. I was, you know, freaking my parents out and talking about their friends that passed away that I never met. So, yeah. And explaining how you can take your dream time, your dream space, and take control.
Jen, you're breaking up a little bit. Can you move someplace?
Okay.
Let's see.
You're breaking up pretty well, so maybe. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you better, yes.
Okay. So
be there. And you're doing
okay, we're still having some problems with hearing.
All right. Let me try to give you a call back on another line. Is that, do you want me to do that or?
No, you're totally clear right now. So wait, you're still breaking up. Yes, if you would, just go ahead and give me a call back at the same number, and then we'll go from there. So if you have a landline, that'll work.
Okay. Well, this okay.
Okay.
All right. Call you right back.
All right.
All right.
So we're going to wait for Jen to call back. I really encourage everybody to look at her books, especially the first one. That I really liked it. You know, it was a children's book, but there was so much there that, you know, you just, it was so well written, and the illustrations, the artwork was so amazing. And that's what I like about it. So I'll ask her about the artist that does the illustrations too when she comes back. So until then, we're talking, and if anyone has any questions for Jen, just you can call in at 657-383-1159. So that would be questions for her. And I think she's back, so hold on.
I am back. Can you hear me? Is that better?
Yes, I can. Yes, much better. Thank
okay.
you. Okay, so you were continue with what you were speaking about.
Sure. So basically, bottom line is I believe that we are working in our dream time, and
yes,
we don't necessarily know what we're doing or which way we're headed, but there is something going on there. So if the star children, the kids that are turned on, that understand that there is much more out there, if they can get control of what they're doing in dream time, I have a theory that it will start to imprint down here in the 3D. So the 5D will collapse into the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So.
I think your theory is right on, to tell you the truth. In the astral garden, obviously they're going into an astral plane. So, I love your books, and I was talking about the illustrations too. The picture that you have them, they're really, really wonderful. And in a book, of course, a children's book, pictures are worth a thousand words too. So all of the things that you're doing here, I can imagine the astral garden is very pretty.
Yes, it is. I have to say that the second book illustrations are almost incomparable to the first book.
Wow.
He just did a phenomenal job. And Brendel Patch Publishing, the children's book publishing company, I do want to state that we don't have any customers, no product. we haven't published any child yet. It's been really hard to communicate the idea to people.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I bring up the word trust, that people kind of just break down and don't understand what I'm saying anymore for some reason. And it's just as simple as we can't pay children, child labor laws. However,
mm-hmm.
we can start a financial future for them in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, my illustrator, he's his own person, Christopher Chiron is the illustrator of the books. And we just kind of shake our heads sometimes and think where he could be if he would have had that
mm-hmm.
opportunity at
mm-hmm.
a young age.
For sure. 'Cause they're wonderful pictures.
Yeah. And another project I have coming up is, so there's a blockchain called Poet. And for you, you're an author as well. I personally had a hard time putting my products or my books or intellectual properties, however we want to look at it, on an ebook. I said, well, this can be hacked at any time. This can be changed. Da da da. They just developed a blockchain to make that virtually impossible. As soon as we publish our work, there's going to be a timestamp, and we are the author of that, whatever we just wrote, or you're the illustrator of whatever, you just drew, and it's timestamped, it's cataloged, and that's your properties. There's no, so it is almost taking up the publisher. And you'd say, well, why are you almost working against yourself? You're trying to start a publishing company. Well, that's right. However, they're two different. I'm an adult, and I'll put my products, my writing, onto a Poet or Meet. It's going to be published through the Medium app. And that's my decision. I'm not going with a publisher. I'm just going by myself. Now, did I go with a publisher for my children's books? Yes. But with this, I have a graphic novel that Christopher Chiron and I are working on as well. And I am going to start releasing that one page at a time through the Medium app as a screenplay, in screenplay format. So the comic book is still coming out. However, we are going to release it page by page on the Medium app. And it's kind of like a teaser to the comic book that'll be coming out in June.
Wonderful. So it's called the Medium app?
Yeah, it's called Medium.
Medium.
IUM. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a platform where people write articles, they rewrite articles, they put them in audio. It's for storytellers, journalists, So that's basically what that platform is for. And behind that Medium platform is the Poet blockchain that will now be securing our writings. And I love the word intellectual property, so I'll use it again.
Yeah, why not? Because it sounds very, mysterious.
I'm sorry?
I said it sounds very mysterious. Intellectual property.
That does sound very mysterious, but it's just like everything that you draw as far as your clients go, or those, that's your intellectual properties. That's your artwork. So,
yeah. It comes from, most people think that they're creating all of this, that it's just coming out of their mind, and a lot of people don't realize that this comes from the universe. I mean, any ideas, anything that you're thinking about, it comes from some place. And when we do that, when we see it, when we, get the idea, all of the things that we're doing, we get this and you either put it on paper or draw it or whatever, because that's what it's the intellectual part. It's coming from our mind and it's being manifested that way. So, the manifestation is looking at it and going, well, this is the idea I received or I got, and now I'm going to, make it come true.
I completely agree. I keep saying intellectual properties, but let's say that they are our intellectual properties. However, it is always coming from something else. I say that, no idea is originally mine necessarily. I just happen to be on that vibration where that idea was hanging out. I agree.
And you grabbed it and you started to run with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's sometimes I'm writing, I'm like, where are you coming up with this stuff?
I know. I know, that's what happened when I wrote a couple of my books. I went, I can't make this up. I have no idea where this is coming from.
Yeah. There's a few things that in the graphic novel, The Three. And so The Three is a working title. I originally titled it The Shrub Conspiracy, which if I could talk to my illustrator and my publisher into saying, okay, we'll do the shrub conspiracy, they don't like how close the, it's, you know, I'm, it's kind of a play on the Bush family. So they didn't want to be too close to that, but I'm like, it's a shrub.
Uh-huh.
It's the shrub conspiracies. Let's, you know. So the three is the working title because I have in the graphic novel that, well, I'm calling it a graphic novel, but I'm going to publish it as a screenplay. Oddly, people might not know it's the exact same thing. You have to have a screenplay written to give to the illustrator, and then he writes your comic book. So
Okay.
Little food for thought for people. I didn't know that until I was in it. I'm going to call it the Shrub Conspiracies now. great marketing.
Okay.
I've written in there a shape-shifting clone, and he's stopped the assassinations of Martin Luther King, JFK, and Malcolm X. And then those three go off planet. They're hiding someplace where I don't want to disclose right now. And
okay.
They're working. They have to go back to the basics on Earth. So they have to start farming and doing all these martial arts and doing really interesting things that humans do to get grounded again, raise their vibration, and they'll be off planet for a little while doing some work. So it's a wild comic book, and I've been sitting on it for about 2 years, and we're ready to release it.
Now that I would be interested in reading also. I love anything that you're putting out right now. You know, the books and everything. There, it's just so, you know, it's simple, it's pure, and it's true. You know, when children are when children are writing or drawing something, they don't sit there and go, I wonder where this is coming from. They just do it because it's there.
Right.
So that's the best thing about having nurturing a child who has these abilities, to just don't question it. It's like, oh, it's no big deal. This is just the way it is. And then
right.
It comes out in a very, you know, easy manner. So we have a couple of minutes left. Now, we talked about your projects and the books and your publishing company. But what I really, really want to know, because I did tell people, too, you're multifaceted, about your stand-up comedy. How or why did you start doing this?
The straight answer is I am madder than a rattlesnake.
okay.
Really upset with the state of affairs of the world. And I am such a serious person, too, as well. I can take things with a grain of salt, but for me, a cigar is not a cigar. It is always something
mm-hmm.
much deeper. And, you know, anything I see superficial, I am trying to go in and see what more is to be shown. And with stand-up comedy, I was initially, I was madder than a rattlesnake. And then on top of that, I was trying to get over heartache. So really for healing purposes. And sometimes I just don't feel like people are listening to me. You know, I think we all feel that way, that we were not heard. And stand-up comedians, just so everybody knows, we are a one depressed, sad bunch of people. There's not a stand-up comedian out there that's like, you know, thinking that the world is just roses and we're going to talk about how happy we are, whatever is happening. So my stand-up revolves around, I've been single for 5.5 years, so I use that. I talk about different news stories that are going on, which is kind of a gamble because you can have other, like, five other stand-up comedians in front of you, and
mm-hmm.
within those five, three have used something that you're about to use. So it's kind of a gamble. And The one thing that I like to keep true to my stand-up skit or whatever I'm doing is I do not say the same thing twice on stage. I will have a new bit every time. Now, sometimes during jokes, I have to back out. I have to back out of what I'm saying. At the time, I'm just like, this isn't going to work. So then when I'm backing out, the joke is actually a lot worse than what I would have said. And I really am disappointed with myself when I say the F word. That'll come out too. And after, I'm just like, you know, I used to live by the law that, you know, you can say the F word, da 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 da, and I can whenever I want. I just don't think I should do it on stage or on an interview. So, you know, I try to keep that word out of there. But yeah, I love it. It's like I'm a golfer as well, and I view stand-up comedy and golf the same way. I can go out there and just kill it, or I can have a really bad round. And it's funny, when I have a camera on me, I'm going to do really well for some reason. And if I don't have a camera on me, the probability of me asking to get off stage is high. You look at the host, you give them let's get me off, and they'll get you off. But it's the stand-up comedians and the group, it's called BACON. So Bay Area Comic Network in Northern California. They post a lot. They book a lot. They book you. Like, can you call yourself a stand-up comedian as soon as you stand up on stage? I guess so. It's like, can I call myself a children's book author with the first or second book? I guess so. But I am doing it very often, let's say 3 times a week. Over the past 2 months, I had some family health issues that we were dealing with, and now that that's over, I am back in action with the 3 days a week.
Wonderful.
But it's that simple, Cassandra. You too can be a stand-up comedian. I'll send you the link for your area today.
Yeah, okay. I'll take you up on that one. There are some things that I could tell people, and they would just sit there with their mouth open and not believe me. So,
right, yeah.
It's like, no, really, people, really, I'm talking, this is true. So you have done this, and I'm actually, kudos to you, because I think it takes a lot to get up in front of a crowd and do this. But if it's therapeutic and it's just one more thing you're adding to what you do and what you're all about, I kind of feel that you're going to have a couple of more things added to who Jana Laughlin is. And I just feel that, you know, happening for you very soon, because you're multifaceted, and everything that's coming up for you is going to enhance your life and also enhance the lives of others. And I didn't think I was going to give you a reading on the radio show, but I think I just gave you a little mini one. But that's what's going to be happening. That's what's going to be happening for you. So just, you know, keep your head up and keep getting those thoughts that come to you, because that's where you're going to be going places and doing things. And that's what I feel. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So anyway, we have about 30 seconds left. Is there any last words that you would like to say, you know, how to reach you again, your website, and anything that you'd want?
Sure. You can call me directly at 904-806-8359. That's my personal number. And then you can also go to BrendelPatchPublishes.com, and that's publishes okay. with an F on the end.
Thank you so much, Jen. That's our
Thank
show.
You,
Tune in next
Talk
time and
soon.
Learn.